In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. I was 4 years old the first time I stole something. This was in Rochester, New York. Elderly couple, Mr. and Mrs. Goodman, lived kitty-corner from our house, little residential neighborhood. Mrs. Goodman would bake cookies all the time. If you knocked on the door, Mr. Goodman would give a free cookie to any kid, but you only got one per day. And he kept this cookie jar on their three-season porch. There was another kid in the neighborhood named Kevin, who, like me, had already gotten his cookie for the day. So Kevin convinced me to go with him, and we snuck into Mr. and Mrs. Goodman's three-season porch, reached in, and stole another cookie each. It was oatmeal raisin, and it was delicious. I still remember it all these years later. But even as I was reaching into the jar, I knew it was wrong. And so I munched that cookie just as fast as I could, ran home, ran upstairs to my room, flopped down on my bed, and started sobbing, just crying. And I vowed to myself, I would never do that again. Now, my mom noticed, of course, that her son goes padding through the house as fast as possible up the stairs, sobbing. So she came upstairs and wondered what had happened. And so I told her. I told her what had happened. And of course, she took me by the arm, marched me right back across the street, and made me apologize to Mrs. Goodman. Now, to a four-year-old kid, that was terrifying. I thought I was going to be destroyed. If you remember when you're four, how giant everybody looks. I thought that that was going to be the end of me. Do you know what Mrs. Goodman did? She thanked me. She thanked me not, of course, for stealing, not, of course, for sneaking, but she thanked me for being honest. She thanked me for confessing. She thanked me for apologizing. And she gave me a hug, and she sat me down at a table on that three-season porch and went to the kitchen and got a glass of milk and put another cookie in front of me and got one for herself. And she and I had milk and cookies together on her three-season porch. And when that was done, she walked me home. After that, Mrs. Goodman was no longer just the cookie lady, but she was my friend. Today, I want to talk about the three ingredients that go into reconciliation, that go into forgiveness. And those three ingredients are remorse, repentance, and confession. Remorse is the feeling. Remorse is the feeling we get when we are in the wrong. It is the sense of shame, the sense of guilt, the sense of sorrow that we feel. Another word for that remorse is compunction or contrition. It's when we are cut to the heart by something we've done wrong, by a hurt we've inflicted on somebody else. In my cookie story, this contrition, this remorse was that little four-year-old hiding in his room crying because he knew he had done wrong. Repentance is a decision. The word repent in Greek literally means to change your mind. It means to change your mind. It is the turning around away from my way and changing my mind to God's way. Repentance is the decision to change course. When Jesus tells us to repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he's not specifically there telling us to feel bad. He's telling us to change our minds. He's telling us to change our course. He's telling us to make a decision to follow him. Now, the repentance of that four-year-old me was a vow to never do that again. And then there's confession. Confession is to name the sin. Confession is to admit to somebody else. Confession is to speak it out loud. In my cookie tale, there was first a confession to my mom, and then there was a confession to Mr. and Mrs. Goodman. Confession is an essential part of reconciliation, the naming of our sins. In our prodigal son gospel story, which is, of course, given to us in preparation for Lent, it's the story of this reconciliation. The younger son sins greatly. He takes, he abandons, he betrays, he misuses gifts, he squanders what made him human. But when he comes to himself, notice all the elements of reconciliation. First of all, there's certainly remorse. It says, when he came to himself, he's like, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish here with hunger? He's got the feeling that this is awful. And then there's repentance, that decision. He says to himself, I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and went to his father. Repentance is the decision to change course. He made the decision and he turned around. And then, of course, there is confession. When he arrives to his father, he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Father, I have sinned. Now, sometimes people ask, why is that third part so essential, that business of confession? It's so awkward. I don't like doing it. Can't I just repent and go on my way? Why do I have to name it? And in particular, why do I have to name it in front of somebody else? And why indeed does the New Testament command that we confess our sins to each other in addition to God? Well, it's because to name the sin out loud, to name the sin to another, exposes the sin to light, and light destroys its darkness. Light is the only thing that can destroy the ultimate power of sin. The light of Christ, the light of him coming into the world, and the light of Christ working through his church. But naming the sin also makes us accountable. We have someone who loves us, that can give us pastoral guidance, but also follow up to help us win over this sin. I mean, the point of the repentance, the point of the contrition, and the point of the confession is so that we change. And by naming the sin to someone who holds us accountable, gives us the best possibility of making that change. But I think maybe most importantly, in confession, our priest can pronounce the forgiveness of the church. He can pronounce the forgiveness of God himself. And just like it is crucial to name the sin out loud, it is crucial that the forgiveness is also named out loud. So these three ingredients, remorse, repentance, and confession, these ingredients are all essential to reconciliation. But there's one more thing I'd like for us to reflect on. And that's God's part in this reconciliation. A friend of mine from Duluth went to Mount Athos this past January. Mount Athos is the holy mountain off the shores of Greece with nothing but ancient monasteries there. He was there for a week or so, and on the last day he was introduced to a very holy elder. And this friend of mine received the blessing from the elder and asked if the elder would give him a word. Give him a message to take back to the church in America. And the elder began to weep, and after a long minute said, God is love. He is not strict in the way that you think. And he went silent, and he wept some more. And when we think about it, it's an interesting thing to say, when we think about it, while God's commandments call us not just to excellence, but indeed to perfection, and when we're being called to perfection, that is strict. God himself is gracious. God himself is patient. God himself is kind, and God himself is loving. He lifts up those who are bowed down. He does not desire the death of a sinner, but that they turn from their way and live. God is love, and he is not strict in the way that you think. Did you notice in the prodigal son story, the son plans to be a servant instead of a son? He says to himself, I'm going to say to my father, make me as one of your hired servants because I am no longer worthy to be called your son. A rather severe punishment. I am no longer your son? Ouch. I can't think of any more severe punishment than to no longer be God's son or daughter. But after he starts to confess to his father, and he says, I am no longer worthy to be called your son, the father cuts him off. He doesn't allow him to get that last line out. The father cuts him off before he can get to the part about not about being like a hired servant. And instead of punishment for the sin, he rewards him for the genuine repentance. Because his son repented, and because his son's repentance was genuine, the father's punishment is a robe, it's a ring, it's sandals for his feet, and it is a feast of reconciliation. And there must have been something of God in Mr. and Mrs. Goodman when that four-year-old boy made his confession. Because, like God, she sat him down for milk and cookies. God is love. He is not strict in the way that we think. Amen. Thank you.